Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. It is 908 on KDXU, and this is the Andy Griffin Show. We're talking Washington County schools today. Steve Dunham, as always, is here.
Good morning, Andy.
Every month. It's been a long time since we haven't done it. I think last spring break, and you're actually going to miss this spring break too, right,
Steve? I know. The spring break is a tough one for me, darn
it. I don't blame you. I mean, you got to get away, right?
We do. We do have to get away. But if somebody's willing to swap days with me, I'll come back in March. I'm happy to do it.
And then Heidi Gunn is here. Heidi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming on the show. Heidi is one of our Washington County School Board members.
Yeah, Brett.
A new one. Yeah. How does that feel?
You know, it's really kind of exciting to be a part of this and just kind of lots of learning, lots of good learning that I'm finding.
In a hurry. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Give us a little background on Heidi Gunn. You are actually a Washington City native, right?
I am. I was born and raised in Washington City, right over there. Good old Pineview High School graduate. Mm-hmm. Loved it. And went to Dixie College, graduated from there, and got married and have a few kids and just on with life.
By the way, maiden name was?
Rushton.
Rushton.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's a Washington. Okay, all right. Got it.
Yeah.
So, nice. And then, we're here talking school. Favorite teacher from the Pineview High School. Did you have one that you really were fond of?
My goodness, you would ask that on the spot. There were so many great ones. I was a part of choir with Norm Lister.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed being a part of the choir program over there at Pineview High School. It was really great. Cool. We got to go tour lots of places, sing in lots of great halls.
If I were to ask you to sing right now, you'd nail it, right?
Wow.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to, but I'm just saying you could if you wanted, right?
Right.
Yes. I've gotten Steve to sing on the air.
No, you have not.
A little bit. Rock and roll, yeah.
No, you've had me recite verses maybe, but not sing. I don't think there was any tune provided with those lyrics.
We'll have to pull up some karaoke Def Leppard for you, Steve.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we'll see how that works out.
But we are talking school today. It's an important time for you guys because there's a lot of bills up on the Hill. And I know that's 300 miles from here, but they directly affect Washington County.
They do. They have a big impact on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Are there a couple that are really, really concerning? A couple that you're really keeping a closer eye on, Steve and Heidi?
There are some that we always keep a close eye on. I'd like to begin by saying we have such a good working relationship with our elected officials. Mm-hmm. Every December, we have a lunch with our school board and our elected officials where we invite them in and we have a discussion about things that are working well, what we really appreciate doing, and we ask them questions, they ask us questions, because they already have an idea of things they're hearing, and that way they can get some feedback directly from our school board members, directly from the school district, about what would work for us. And so I want to say that our locally elected officials do such a good job of trying to listen and work with us on everything. We have such a good working relationship there.
That kind of communication, I think, is really important, because if you think about the way maybe a lawmaker gets the news on something having to do with schools, well, it might make a story online, or maybe they're reading, my wife does this all the time, reads the comments of the trolls.
Oh, no.
They might hear something on the radio or on the television. And so the information becomes less and less, honestly, true, less and less integrity in the information. By the time it gets to them, they're like, hey, I heard you guys are burning books, you know, or something like that. And so it's important that you guys get together with these people and say, hey, let's speak truth here. Let's talk about what's really happening.
That's the truth. It's the truth. It's critical that we have that communication. The flip side is that the way the legislature works, it is moving so fast, and there's so many education bills that they often don't know every single one that's coming out, and they will have it handed to them, and they'll want to vote either on it that day or the next day in such a short amount of time that they can't get the information and feedback from us. And so sometimes they're voting a little bit blindly in this respect of they haven't talked with the school district or our board members on how this could affect public education here locally. And that's hard. You know, we want to say, hey, let's review this. Let's look at this. And occasionally some really stinker bills come out of it.
Yeah. And they're, like you said, they're given a bill and it might be 100 pages or something. And they're saying, we'll vote on this tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And like, oh boy. So, and I know some of them love to read, but come on, really? You know?
That's the truth. That's the truth. And it's tough, but there are some we're watching closely. One of those is Senate Bill 37, SB 37, it's called. Mm-hmm. It's really not a good bill for education, and it's not a good bill for our local community. It takes away our property tax dollars. So as most of this community knows, the school district levies a basic rate for your property value. And that comes back to the school district to fund education here in Washington County. What SB 37 does is it takes that money that the school district has levied, and it takes it up to the state, and then the state can spend it on whatever they want, whether that's roads, whether that's any program they want. And so immediately, our taxpayers have lost local control over the schools. And that's not fair. That's not right.
What do they offer as a replacement for your funding?
Oh, they say they'll give us money back, but they don't guarantee it.
Oh, boy.
And so that's the trick is we work hard to keep our property tax rates low. I brought in this sheet that shows we are well below the state average from school districts in our property tax assessment. Here we sit well below the average, and suddenly our money is getting combined with other school districts for whatever the state wants, and they're going to give us back an arbitrary sum, and we're like, hey, we've worked hard to keep our property tax low for our patrons here, and we do a dang good job at educating our children. The state regularly comes to see how we're doing things because we do such a good job, and we've been recognized nationally for our efforts in both science and math and reading, most recently reading, and suddenly they're saying, hey, we're going to take all this money that you're doing such a good job with, and we'll decide what you need. Well, that's not fair to our community. That's not fair to our parents. Our parents vote in these great school board members like Heidi, who have years and years of volunteer experience in our schools. And she's now representing this whole group of parents in her community. And all that power is taken away from her. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to ensure that these children are getting the same quality education that they've had before?
Yeah, good point.
It's a shell game in our opinion, because they're taking that money away. They're not telling what it is exactly would go for, and then they'll give us an allocation back. That's frustrating. That really is. So SB 37, we are encouraging people to reach out to their locally elected officials and tell them to vote no on SB 37.
Is there a feel, Steve, up there? Is this going to pass, or is it close, or do you have any idea yet?
We have no idea. It's one of these surprise bills that come out, and we're like, whoa, where did this come from? This kind of blindsides us. And so as we look at it and look at what it does, I can leave this with you, but I have a list of things, how it negatively affects public education.
Is that the one you sent me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
yes.
I've got it. Yeah, I just read it, in fact.
And so it's really, I'll look at a few of these. It takes away local control. Public education funding needs to be predictable and stable. And with our tax levy that we have here, it is predictable. It is stable. In fact, we've taken efforts as a school district to ensure that it's more stable by doing what we did in 2023, which would remove all of our debt completely and allow us to accommodate for growth here in our community. Well, that is no longer guaranteed. And that's frustrating. How do we fund that then?
I think there is still, too, a feeling that does Salt Lake, the big shots up there, even care about Washington County? You know, I mean, if you watch the Salt Lake television news,
I know.
There's like the weather comes on. Oh, the last 10 seconds, here's the forecast for St. George. And there, you know, there's not a story about Southern Utah on the news unless something bad happens. You know,
we're kind of the middle child, you know.
Yeah,
we're not the firstborn, and we're not the little brother, but we're kind of in the middle there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the little one is spoiled, is it?
Well, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
I have a little sister, so she's spoiled, if you ask me. Heidi, how many kids do you have?
I have eight.
Eight kids.
Yeah.
You're busy. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. How old's your youngest and oldest?
My oldest is 26, and she's actually a special ed teacher up north. Nice. So it's really been great to kind of see her journey in special ed and being a teacher and hear a little bit about that. My youngest is almost 14.
Oh, so you still have, is it one or two in public school?
I have three still in public school. Oh, I have a junior, a freshman, and an eighth grader.
Nice.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Yeah, so I am right in the middle of it, and it's really great because I do get an opportunity to hear a lot from parents and hearing about just this thing that Steve talked about. They're concerned about things like this and worried about that, and teachers are too. They want to make sure that they have the adequate funding to be able to teach and to run a classroom the way they need to.
So as a school board member now, and this is new for you, your whole life you volunteered in schools and helped out, but now you're on the board. Now you're a legislator, as it were, for the school district. Are you to the point now, a month and a half in, that you're still learning the ropes, or are you to the point that, okay, now I'm ready to try to make some changes and do some things I think need to happen?
Oh, still learning a lot. And I think that if I said I knew everything right now, then, I shouldn't be here. lots of learning still to come, but I feel like I bring a lot of good knowledge to the table with my years of experience being in the school, being with parents, being with teachers and administrators, and really hearing what's happening inside the classrooms, what their frustrations are, what their successes are. I think those things are what I really bring to the table that may be different from some of the other board members. The learning part comes with learning all this legislation stuff and being able to understand it better, and how the funding and the budget works is really exciting. It's a lot of learning, a lot of listening, a lot of asking questions. We have the wonderful opportunity as board members, as superintendent, to be able to go up and meet with the legislators through this legislative session. I happened to be up there last weekend. I'm going again this weekend. Nice. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have a great relationship. We had our legislators met with the board members last weekend. Hopefully we get to meet with them again this weekend and really express our concerns to them and talk to them. And we're so appreciative that they take the time to listen and hear, and hopefully it has a positive effect.
Do you feel like that's important because there may be a disconnect? I mean, you've been in the trenches, you've been in the schools, sometimes you feel like, okay, they made a ruling up in Salt Lake and a law has been passed, now it applies to all these kids that had nothing to do with any of it. And I mean, do you feel like that maybe that's the biggest part of this whole legislative thing, is getting them to understand real life?
I think there is a little bit of disconnect. I think there's a disconnect in recognizing what's actually happening. You have some of these great people thinking up these great things, but they don't see how it really could affect on the ground in their classrooms.
The unintended consequences.
Yeah, and that's, I think, where parents, that's where board members come in to really express the concern and say, listen, maybe you don't see it this way. And some of them go, oh, I didn't realize that. So it is good to be able to voice your concerns and let them understand better.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, this is exactly what we love from a school board member, is somebody that has been in the classroom, that has been in the schools, helping, volunteering, and taking an active part in how her own children's education has gone, and now has said, hey, I can do this at a higher level. I can volunteer my time, essentially volunteer. I mean, they get a small stipend, but it works out to, I think, $1 an hour is what you end up getting paid for all of your service. But really, it is. She's putting so much time in learning about how the school district runs and how we can make it better and support the learning that happens in the classroom, because it all comes back to the learning in the classroom.
Yeah.
Some of the hot button issues that I'm guessing are being addressed by the legislature. You've got, transgenders in girls' sports. You've got cell phones in schools. Mm-hmm. In fact, today on the Newswire, they were talking about, and it's not necessarily have to do with schools, but having, kids, when they want to download an app, have to verify their age, especially a social media type apps. And so are these things that you as a school board discuss every week when you meet? Are these things that you're like, okay, we need to understand what the legislature is trying to do and tell them how we feel about it?
You know, it's things that's kind of ongoing. Again, lots of learning and understanding kind of what's happening there. You bring up a couple of those issues. I could give a nice shout out to Snow Canyon Middle School right here. That's where my kids are at, but you talked about the cell phones, and that's a big thing at that school right now. And we have an administration right now that has opened that up to where they have said bell to bell, no cell in that school. And I have to say, it has been fantastic from a parent's perspective.
Does that mean all day or just when class is in, bell to bell?
All day. So that means in the hallway. That means at lunchtime. Really? That means when that first
bell rings. I like it personally, but there, I know there are people that are not happy about that.
You know, lots and lots of parent support for the last couple of years to try and really get this pushed, because it's been a problem. And we had an administration that really has taken that on and owned it, and is okay to kind of take a little bit of the hit on things with parents and concerns, and they really address them so well, and put at ease parents and what's happening, and try to accommodate those that need special accommodations. But it's working, and the thing that's been really great is to watch these kids socialize face to face and talk with their peers. We've had some data that's shown that test scores have improved a little bit because they're not so concerned about their phones and what's on them and being distracted. So it's a really good thing.
Steve and I have talked about in the past, sometimes kids even have panic. If they don't have their phone close to them, they're having panic and separation anxiety or whatever. I will tell you this, Heidi, I almost called you Becky. That's the other, that's the other board member. I have a relative of mine who said they're going to have to, I forget the words she used, but basically she said, my kids will have their cell phones with them all the time. Now, her kids are not quite in public school yet, but there's got to be a few parents out there who are pretty hard line about this kind of thing. So, I mean, you mentioned addressing those concerns. What if a parent comes to you and says, if you don't let my kids carry their phone, I'm taking my kids out of the school. What do you tell someone like that?
You know, you try and listen to them. You want to listen. You want to try and understand their concerns. There are some kids that have some medical issues that do need the phones with them. And again, the administration's just accommodated the things that those concerns with parents. In fact, I was at the school just last week and happened to be in the office. And there was a kid that needed to call his mom for something and came into the office and talked to the secretary. And the secretary said, of course, pull your phone out. You're right here where you should be to be able to make that important phone call to your parent. The child made the phone call in the office, resolved what needed to be resolved, put the phone back in the backpack, and went back to class and thanked the secretary. And so there are ways to make it work, and it really is to benefit the students and to help their learning experience.
Now, with cell phones, do you know, Steve, approximately how many bills are dealing with that kind of thing at the state level? Because there's got to be a few.
With cell phones specifically, I don't know how many are dealing with that. Do you,
Heidi? I think there's just the one.
The one main one?
I think there's just one. I'm not positive on that, though.
Okay.
Do you know if they're looking to address not just a cell phone, but a cell phone with, it seems like to me the problem isn't the phone necessarily as it is what they're doing on the phone. It's specifically social media stuff, the judgment and the bullying and the things that go on with social media. My kids are just now out of the public school system, but I saw it toward the tail end, my especially my last two, where there was a lot of stuff going on that almost was hard to believe, the way kids acted through social media.
You know, there is a lot like that, but a cell phone does become a distraction. And whether it's, you know, kids insist, oh, I just need music playing. Well, no, you really don't need music playing. Because a lot of kids, they'll put an earbud in and they'll try and hide it behind their hair or whatever. And it does become a distraction. So it is a lot of social media, but it also is other distractions where kids may not be bored. They may not like a subject. And if we can remove that distraction, the child then has an opportunity to better focus. I love what Heidi said, is that they're already gaining or collecting the data showing improvements. And it may not be huge improvements, but improvements are important.
Yeah.
I mean, we do look at 10th and 100th of percentage points in improvement, and that is important because we'll see what we can do, and then we'll refine that and say, how can we do this a little bit better and make that improvement even greater?
Do you anticipate there being a law coming down from above, you know, from the state legislature? Because right now it seems to me each district, maybe even each school, has their own rules when it comes to cell phones. Do you think there will be a universal rule from the state saying this is what you will do?
I think right now that the bill that's out there is kind of leaving it up to each school, but they are putting down some kind of a mandate saying to have no cells in school. And so I think that that's kind of what it says. I don't have it specifically in front of me to quote it. But I want to go back to what you said a little bit about the social media and just the effect it has on students. Right now, this month, schools here in Washington County are doing what's called White Ribbon Week. It's put on through the PTA. It's a wonderful week that is filled and talking about internet safety. And they specifically focus on cell phones and the safety to dealing with those different apps and those social media, dealing with online predators and the internet and what our kids are doing. And it's a great focus within the school and being able to teach and educate parents and students on the harmful effects of social media. We actually have a great assembly coming to some of the schools out in the Snow Canyon Cone site. Detective Cody Layton is coming, and he's speaking to the students specifically about the harmful effects of social media and what he sees here in Washington County that these students need to be aware of, that it's not just fun and games, but there is really harmful effects that can happen.
And some big ones too, not just the ones, and they're all big, but not just the ones affecting their test scores or whatever, but from bullying to flat out sexual abuse and things like that.
So, yeah.
I have got to pay some bills here, so get a commercial break in. We're talking with Heidi Gunn. Not Dunn. There's a Dunn on the school board as well. But this is good.
Heidi replaced Becky.
Right. Got it. Okay. So Gunn replaces Dunn. And it's spelled the same except for the first letter, right?
Yeah.
So, and Heidi is 6 weeks in now as a school board member and learning every single day, I guess, Heidi, as you go through it. And it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
On the school board. And we're talking with Steve Dunham as well. If you want to text into the show, you can text me anytime you want, 435-467-5842. If you have a question about maybe some of these bills or what the school district stance is on, you know, anything really, transgenders, books, and what books should, or are age appropriate, as Steve said, not banned, but age appropriate books in school libraries or any other topic. Again, 467-5842. And if you'd like to call into the show, it's 673-5890. Right now, let's check weather.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU. Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate you guys. And thanks also to Heidi Gunn, school board member for the Washington County School District.
Happy to be here.
Still learning. A rookie. Yeah. Is this, I always ask people that get elected to office, is this something you want to do for a long time, or is this kind of, you want to get in and try to make a difference and get back out?
We'll just get through the first 6 months, and then we'll see where we're at, right?
She's a month and a half in, so.
I think her elected term is longer than 6 months, so she's stuck with it for a bit longer.
You're stuck with me for a minute,
Another few years here.
Yeah, there's another few years.
Is it at all like you thought? You know how you get something, and you're like, I want this, and then you get in there, and you're like, it's different than what I thought. Is it different than what you thought it would be, or is it pretty similar being on the school board?
You know, having served a lot in the schools, I have been to a lot of school board meetings over the years. And so I kind of had a little bit of an idea of how the process worked, been heavily involved in PTA and now region PTA. And so I've been to a lot of different meetings there at the district office, met with lots of people through the years. So I had a general idea of kind of what I was getting into. But there is a whole nother level of things and understanding that you just kind of get to dive into. And and it's been really good. Good people to just learn from that have just really been great to explain a lot of things, help field through my questions, and which is great.
Have you had people calling you at midnight and saying, hey, you got to fix this or anything like that?
No. Not that yet, no.
Well, folks, you will not answer at midnight, so don't call. Wait till the next day, right? But thank you again, Heidi, for being here and for being on the board. We're looking forward to getting to know you better throughout the years.
Yeah.
Steve, always, it's good to have you here, my friend.
Thanks. Yeah. I like being here.
So let's talk about illegal immigrants, people that have come to our country that don't have a green card, aren't technically supposed to be here, and how they fit into our current community in Washington counties. And Steve, I'll let you start. How many would you guesstimate I mean, you don't ask a question, right? So you don't necessarily know how many?
We genuinely don't know. We do not ask the immigration status of any student that comes into our schools, but we are directed. We have to take them. It's a Supreme Court case. I think it is Plyler versus Doe.
Established that all children,
yes, regardless of immigration status, have the right to a public education, and schools cannot deny a student a public education based on immigration status. So we do not ask, we do not collect that data, but we welcome them all, and we try to provide a good, positive education for these children.
Yeah. Now, let's kind of put it out there, what's really happening at this point. Has there been, or will there be, anybody now or in the near future going into your school and taking a kid out of school and sending him back to Mexico?
You know, that's a tricky question that I can't genuinely answer because it's out of our control. Has there been? No. We've had nobody. Could there be? Well, the president said now with this executive order that there is that possibility. Mm-hmm. But here's where we hope it will go. This is where we believe it will go. And that is they're looking for the criminals. They're not looking for every illegal person here in our country just to send them back. They want to get the criminals out because there are a lot of
people. And I think public sentiment is behind that.
Yes.
We don't want the guys that the violent offenders and the rapists and all those people. We want them back where they came from.
Please, yes. We have so many members of this community that are such an active, positive part of our community. They are doing so much to enliven and enrichen what we have here in Washington County. We welcome them, you know, and we shouldn't say, oh, we want them all out. That's an awful thing to say because everybody brings something to the table and they're providing support and service in a lot of areas that a lot of people here would not do.
However, if they are bringing to the table, you know, it's okay to steal. It's okay to, you know, take someone's virtue.
The criminal element, yeah.
Yeah, those are the ones that we just don't. It's okay to be a gangbanger. No, we don't want that here.
And I can't say this officially, but I can say that in my conversations with law enforcement, they've said, hey, we're looking for criminals. Yeah. We're not looking for anybody, and we're not going to bother them if they're not breaking the law.
Do you feel, Steve and Heidi, do you feel like that there's some misconception about that people are scared?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are definitely scared. We have seen enrollment drop since that executive order went into place, and that saddens me because even my law enforcement partners, as I've talked to them, they said we would rather these kids are in school than sitting at home.
Yeah.
And I think all of this whole community would feel that way. We'd rather they're in school getting an education and enriching their lives, becoming more a more positive part of our community.
I feel like anyway, you know, if you have come here and you're not leaving anytime soon that we know of, come and assimilate, come and be a part of us, and come and learn the language and learn our culture and become part of Washington County.
Yeah.
And being at home with your parents that don't speak English, perhaps is that's not doing that.
Well, and I would love to just give a shout out right here to our teachers because they do. They take these kids under their wings and mm-hmm. they really, really help them to thrive. And we have a lot of students that are ESL students, English as a second language, and these teachers work really hard to make them feel accepted and help them to learn. I had a daughter that was volunteering in one of the schools and my daughter speaks Spanish and she was helping in a particular fifth grade classroom that had quite a few ESL students there. And she took one girl and she just helped her with her assignment. And she was able to speak Spanish and English back and forth with this child. And her test scores, she got a good grade on a couple of her tests and her face just lit up. And my daughter was so excited to see that she had made a positive impact in this child's life. And the teacher was so grateful that she had a volunteer that was there helping and that someone that could help assist just an extra pair of hands to help. But our teachers are doing such an amazing job in helping them to learn and to become citizens and to be integrated into our culture here and just really welcoming them with open arms and helping them to learn.
My sister is a para, I think you call them paraprofessionals, right? Mm-hmm. That helps kids read, basically. And her job has been challenging, obviously, when you have some of them that don't really even speak English. When their first day of kindergarten, they don't know a lick of English. But it has been incredibly rewarding for her. She told me, though, that there have been some experiences where kids are, you know, maybe parents keep them at home because they're afraid of what might happen. And like you said, Steve, that I think the authority would rather just go to school. Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to come to school and take you away. Just go to school and learn and keep, you know, keep matriculating is a word I like to use.
You know, and here's the flip side. We want these parents to have all of their contact information updated. Because by law, we cannot release a child to anybody other than the person on their contact list or emergency contact list without proper court documentation. So if ICE were to come, they would have to have warrants. They can't just come and collect children. They can't do that. That's not allowed. By law, we can only release these children to their parent, guardian, or whoever is on their emergency contact list. So we want them to feel safe. We want them to bring their children and feel safe that everything will be okay.
I can tell you it will be much publicized if it ever gets to that point where they are taking actually families and sending them back. We'll know about it because the press will let us know right away. Actually, Donald Trump will let us know right away, probably on X or whatever, or True Social. That we'll know about it right away. But so they had a walkout is a good word for it. They had a day, I think it was a day without immigrants day or something like that. Did that have an effect on the public schools?
It did. Our enrollment was down significantly. And so there's a significant population of both the students that might have come from an illegal status or those that support them. And so, yes, it did have a significant status. At some of our schools, enrollment was down 30 or 40%.
Now, Steve, we talked about right now they're after the criminals, right? Has there been any kind of criminal element in the schools with some of these illegal immigrants?
No, none that I can.
Okay. No gangs, no drug dealing, none. Nothing like that? Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Well, Washington County's a different beast, too.
That's
from
true.
A big metropolis,
yeah,
too.
It's not like we're New York or
and we have such a great working relationship with our school resource officers, our different police departments. And so where we have an officer in all of our secondary schools, they get to know the kids right away. And they get to know the kids, and they work with them, and they know that, hey, I'm a friend. I'm not somebody to be looked at and scared of. I'm an ally.
Yeah.
And that's such a positive relationship we have with law enforcement, where they're in our schools, they're getting to know the kids, and the kids get to know them. And that really works in our favor, too.
If you think about maybe where they came from, some of them, was the police officer your friend if you lived in, you know, big city in Mexico? You mean that guy that's taking money from the cartels? Probably not.
I know, yeah.
So you have to teach him that.
Yes.
They have to learn it. These are the good guys.
And I agree with Steve. I think our SRO officers are just, they do a tremendous job in the schools, and they really get to know those kids, and those kids trust them. And I think that if there's a problem or an incident or something that they witness, they know where to go. And those officers are right on top of things. And they really, their presence in the schools is wonderful.
I had a friend who was an SRO for a long time. And I said, yeah, but what happens if you get to know and really love these kids? And then you have to bust them because they did something pretty terrible. And he says when the relationship begins, that's an understood. He said, right from the very beginning, I am your friend. But if you do something wrong, know that I will do my job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sobering. It's hard for these guys because they don't, you know, want to have to do that. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Right? That's exactly right.
So, all right, Heidi Gunn and Steve Dunham, we're going to get another commercial break in, and we'll talk more about the schools and, I don't know, banning books or something, Steve.
Okay.
I know you love it when I say that.
You quit saying that. You're such a troublemaker, Andy.
I am. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Final segment here on the Andy Griffin Show. We've got about 10 minutes talking with Heidi Gunn, who is a Washington County School District board member.
Yes.
Wow, that means you're like a rule maker and stuff, right?
Rule maker, yep, that's right.
And Steve Dunham is here. He doesn't make any rules. He follows rules.
I follow rules. I'm a rule follower. Yes, that's correct.
Unlike when he was a teenager, when he broke all the rules, right?
Oh, dear.
I did not break rules.
A couple of them.
At least none that we're admitting to publicly.
Speed limit.
Speed limit? No, I never speed.
Mm-hmm. Now?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I guess
they call me Gordon Leadfoot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Gordon Ledford.
I'd seen Gordon Lightfoot while I was driving like Gordon Ledford.
The wreck of the Chevy Camaro.
Oh, yes. Oh, it fits in, doesn't it?
Yeah, except that I think Camaro is that. Yeah, that's a Chevy.
We go off on tangents. I apologize.
I can tell. It's all right. It's a good little relationship here. Working relationship.
Oh, boy.
Let's continue legislature talk a little bit as pertaining to Washington County School District. What are any of the other things you wanted to talk about with going on up north?
Well, there have been some recommendations to cut funding to some programs.
And cut funding?
Yes.
Why would they do that?
They're looking to either reallocate funds or they'll do it in different ways. They'll say...
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't the state budget have a $1 billion or $2 billion surplus this last year?
You know, I can't answer the why.
Okay.
I can just tell you what comes down the tube.
Because it seems like surplus here, cutting here, maybe the two could come... I don't know.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think.
It's not like we're running the $2 trillion deficit like the feds every year.
I know. But these are recommendations. This is from the Public Education Appropriations Subcommittee.
Okay.
And it says, recommendation for ongoing funding and to reduce CTE student organizations, reduce CTE work-based learning.
What?
You know, that's a hard one because we have one of the best work-based learning programs. Not only in the state, it's been recognized nationally, where we get our students, we teach them how to become good employees, we put them in internships, and these companies hire them.
Mm-hmm. It's working, is what you're saying.
Oh, it's working.
So why are they?
Everybody looks at us for what we're doing with this. It's number two in the nation.
And lots of students take advantage of it.
Yes. Yeah. And so when
why
we see this...
Why are they trying to take money away?
Because they're looking to save... It's $2.3 million they have allocated to it now, and they're looking to cut that. And so, you know, you look at some of these other things, digital teaching and learning, grants for professional learning. That means some of the things that help our teachers become better teachers could go away.
Mm.
SPED impact for some school districts. Student health and counseling support. That means nurses. That could mean counselors. Capital outlay. That means for schools that have growing school districts like us, that could be an impact. There is just a lot of these things where they're looking at cutting. ProStart, software licenses for early literacy, $2 million. There's a lot they're looking at cutting, and you bring up a good point. If there's a surplus here, why are you looking to cut so strongly in education? And if there's a surplus here, why are you introducing a bill to take away all of the local property tax dollars from our communities that support public education and do with it what you want to do, not what we feel should be done, or what these voted representatives as a school board, they have a job to be a representative of their community and say, your tax dollars are going to this, and this is the result. And we're doing a darn good job at that right now.
Yeah.
And they want to take that away? That's hard.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
Now, I'm not naive enough to think, okay, there was a surplus here, and so they should put the money here. I know it doesn't work that way, right?
No.
I mean, this money's allocated certain ways, and this money's allocated. But it just seems like to me that the law shouldn't be, we want to cut these things. The law should be, let's figure out how to get this money that's floating around over here that was excess. I mean, they actually, you know, they had excess funds and move it over to here.
Exactly. Or they could move it to their other programs that they want to do, whether it's highways or whatever else, and leave public education money alone. You know, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
If there's an excess here, move it. They're so hip on doing these tax cuts on food, which would save the average household like $1 a month.
Yeah,
$12 a year. Come on, that's the tax cut you're looking at doing. Also, they can say, hey, we cut your taxes like this, $12 a year. Only so it can hurt public education or it can hurt these other programs, and they're robbing money from different spots, and that's really hard. And again, as I talk about these things, I want people to approach it civilly, where you reach out to your local elected officials and say, hey, I don't support this and this is why, or it's better to leave it alone because look at what our own school district is doing. Look at how they're being transparent and how they're addressing our growing needs. Even though the rest of the state may not be growing, we're still growing a little bit. It's not nearly as fast as it used to be. But we're still growing a little bit, and we still need to address those needs differently than school districts that are shrinking or completely stagnant.
It seems like it wasn't that long ago. Utah was, I think, 49th in the among 50 states in spending per pupil. I think that's gone up some, but it sounds like to me they're, well, let's go back to that.
I think we're 48th now.
Oh, we're 40. Well, I say it's gone up some.
Well, and one of the things, too, just to hear the list of things that they want to cut and cutting education, it only hurts the students. And, you know, these programs are there to help. To make them better, to help them learn, to give them experiences.
It's enriching.
And, and to cut those things is only hurting them. And as we're trying to make these students become good citizens and to be educated and to move on in life, it's just going to be harmful for them and hurt them. And as district members, it's hard for us to see that and to know that these programs that could be cut or that are on the chopping block, that they really will affect the schools and the students' learning.
We want to be exceptional. I mean, we take great pride in Southern Utah, in Washington County, of trying to be the best at whatever it is that we set out to do. And for them to say, yeah, but you're going to have to do it on your own or whatever. You can't have any money to help you do that. That's frustrating. By the way, I just got a text. We're short on time, but what about the class size deal? Is there a bill addressing
that? Yes, there is a bill that talks about class size reduction money. The state gives us money so that we can add additional teachers in to reduce class sizes. And some of the concerns with that we've heard from legislators is we don't see how that money is actually making a difference. However, again, in Washington County, we have a very clear formula of what the board funds for our teachers, and then we add that state money on so we can directly show all of our elected officials how it really does reduce class sizes. Now, every school district doesn't do that, but we do. We're very transparent about that. And yet, so this bill would eliminate those funds, and we would definitely have to raise class sizes. So
it would make it worse,
not better. It would make it worse because they're taking away the funding that is paying for extra teachers. We call them FTEs, full-time employee, or full-time equivalent, I think is what the real term is. And so we add those extra teachers in so that we can lower class sizes even more. We're very transparent on how we do it so that it's very visible to everybody that, yes, we're using the state's money, adding it to the board allocated funds to reduce class size. And because some districts don't do it that way, they're looking at a bill to do this, which would It would hurt us. Yeah. In some secondary situations, we could see class sizes going up to 40 children.
No, that's not acceptable.
No, it's not acceptable.
Not at all.
Agreed. That's a great question. Thank you for sending that in.
Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, ideally in my mind, I think it should be, you know, 20 kids in a class. Or you know, I know right now it's probably like closer to 30, right?
Well, it depends on the grade.
Yeah.
It's allocated. So kindergarten through third, it's 22, I think is where we fund it, 22 and a half. Third through sixth, I think it's 27, 28. And then in secondary, it's around 32. I believe that's how it is.
Imagine going to 40.
I can find those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'd be really hard.
And that doesn't mean that every class is going to be those exact sizes. That's where we fund it. Kids don't come packaged in those grades at those groupings that we want.
Right.
And so it's going to be a little bit higher. Generally, it's going to be a little bit higher everywhere across the board. But if we lose that funding, it would have to go even higher.
Before we go, we have 30 seconds, Steve. Are we banning books in
school? No, oh, my goodness. Andy.
The other thing I always ask you about and you always get defer is, where is the next high school going to be, Steve?
Well, right now, growth has slowed down.
Yeah,
and I defer because CT High has taken a lot of that pressure off.
Yeah.
And that's been good for the taxpayers, too.
Is Career Tech High School getting close to capacity now? Because it was still under last time we checked.
I think we're close, but I don't think
it's growing,
we're
I don't think at capacity.
We're in a good spot.
Well, we're out of time. Heidi, thank you for coming in. Great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
Steve, it's always a pleasure. We're going to miss you next month.
Thanks, Andy. It's a pleasure to be here.
The Andy Griffin Show will be back tomorrow. Mayor Chris Staley on the program.